Reflection day again. What are your expectations? Are we going to see more shockers in the governorship election? Well, let's find out. Hello, my name is Lilian Ogazi, and this is The Bearing, coming to you from Daily Trust. In this episode, we're looking at possible shockers to expect from the governorship election holding nationwide today. The governorship and state assembly elections are being held today across the country. 8 of the 36 states, Anambra, Bayelsa, Edo, Ekiti, Imo, Kogi, Osun and Ondo, have governorship elections off season due to litigations in court judgments. In alphabetical order, the 28 states where governorship elections will be held today, March 18th, are Abia, Adamawa, Akwa Ibom, Bauchi, Benue, Borno, Cross River, Delta, Ebonyi, Enugu, Gombe, Jigawa, Kaduna, Kano, Katsina, Kebbi, Kwara, Lagos, Nasarawa, Niger, Ogun, Oyo, Plateau, Rivers, Sokoto, Taraba, Yobe, and Zamfara. Of the 28 states, 11 serving governors are seeking re-election, while 17 outgoing governors are in the final weeks of their constitutional two-term limit of 8 years, having been sworn in on May 29, 2015. With the outcome and shockers experienced in the presidential election, do we expect same in the gubernatorial elections? Well, let's take a trip around the 6 geopolitical zones as we talk to analysts who tell us what possible shockers we might experience in the elections today. First off, what shocker might happen in the south-south and southeastern part of Nigeria? Let's hear from an analyst from that part of the country.
Emmanuel Osomega, public affairs analyst. Oh, yes, absolutely. The outcome of the presidential election, though very quite disputed, you know, in many quarters, especially with the PDP and the Labour Party contesting the declaration and, of course, the process that led to the declaration. But I know clearly that citizens across the Federation are determined to speak and make it very clear to politicians that they hold the ace, that they will determine who governs them. So it's no longer business as usual where politicians will do as they like. So certainly the voting pattern of 25th of February will play a major role, you know, in the voting pattern come 18th of March.
So now let's look at states like, let's touch a bit on Anambra State and even Cross River States now. We know that these states used to be PDP APGA for Anambra, and then Cross River used to be a PDP stronghold. But we saw that during the presidential elections, these states went for the third force. Do you think same thing would apply in for governorship election? Would they go for the third force, or that's the Labour Party, or we're going to see something different?
Oh, absolutely, we're going to see something specifically different. With respect to Anambra State, I believe strongly that the third force, the Labour Party, will make a strong showing in the State House of Assembly. There are 30 seats for grabs. As much as the state government will do all within their power to ensure that they maintain majority. I mean, they have practically 30 members of the State House of Assembly from the PDP, from the APGA, but the outcome of the 18th will show clearly that that majority may not be possible. Let me use that word as I said. The Labour Party will give a strong showing in Anambra State. Of course, APGA will win some, but Labour Party will give a strong showing, possibly PDP may also get some reasonable. So it will be a mixed, it will be a diverse state assembly in Anambra State. Of course, the governorship is not up for election. Now, when you go to Cross River State, where the candidate of the Labour Party won, don't forget that that is the state of the wife of the Labour Party presidential candidate.
Oh, okay.
And of course, it's been a traditional PDP state for a long time until the incumbent governor cross-capitated to APC. But we see some alliance going on there right now. Labour Party has a governorship candidate. However, the Obedient Movement, which is not necessarily a Labour Party populated membership, is somewhat supporting the candidate of APC, Basi Otu.
Mm.
Yes. He seemed to be a candidate that cuts across party line, cuts across interest groups. So he most likely may take the day, not because APC, you know, will win, but because the preponderance of supporters across party line consider him a more acceptable candidate, you know.
And it looks like they are working more for candidates than parties.
Yes, it's no longer about party now. It's about candidate. Yes, some people, some of the voters will also vote for Labour Party because of their presidential candidate. But majority, you have some, you have serious battle subject to the number of voter turnout.
So states like Rivers State and Ebonyi State. Now, we saw that in Ebonyi State, the president lost the governor there lost his opportunity to go back into the Senate because people, like you said, are now voting for candidates. Same thing happened in Cross River, who trashed us. But coming down to Rivers State, that has always been the PDP state, and we saw what played out during the presidential election.
Ebonyi State governor won his Senate. So in Ebonyi State, it's going to be a tough battle. But I see the PDP, you know, holding sway in Ebonyi State.
Okay, but do you see the PDP coming back in Rivers State?
Well, if the results are, you know, are the vote polling unit is anything to go by, I do not see the PDP winning Rivers State.
Okay.
It's going to be a tough battle between a big battle between the APC, PDP, and of course the Labour Party.
Okay, what about Imo State? Now let's conclude with Imo State. Now, what's your thought on Imo State, and you know how the presidential election will affect the governorship election in Imo State?
Imo State is largely and purely 100% PDP state.
Mm.
I believe that the voting pattern, you know, that went the way of the Labour Party candidate. Don't forget the Labour Party candidate was also the vice presidential candidate of PDP in 2019. So that also contributed a lot to the voting pattern across the states. If the Beavers work where the results are posted from the polling unit and the collation happens seamlessly, then of course we are going to be really shocked with the results we will get.
Okay.
That was Emmanuel Osemeka, a public affairs analyst, speaking. Oh well, fingers crossed. Let's get to the Southwest. With lots of drama ensuing from the Camp GRV and Camp Sanwo-Olu in Lagos, what should we look out for? Would what happened in the presidential election replay itself in this election? Let's find out.
My name is Dr. Tunde Akane. I'm an associate professor of journalism at the Lagos State University. I double as the pioneer director of the Digital Media Research Center of the university. The third force is important, and we need to reckon with it. But the truth and the reality is that the so-called third force certainly, clearly, cannot stand the test of time.
Mm.
And indeed, its inability, the lack of the capacity to stand the test of time, is such that you will be amazed that it might not endure till this Saturday's election. Because the truth really is that a number of us residents here in Lagos, and not just mere residents, the number of us who are scholars of the society have monitored, you know, all of those variables that concern politics in Lagos and the entire Southwest. And the things that have played out since the presidential election happened have come to give us very strong signals that the so-called third force is not likely to be able to endure the test of time.
Okay, now let's
and the truth is that, you know, you look around, who are those who make up the so-called third force? They are not any force that could be reckoned with politically.
Okay.
To the extent that a number of them are already beginning to defect.
Mm.
To the extent that so many of the things that were not known to those who had strayed into their camp are now in the public space, And so some of the people who are strayed into their camp are now going back into the traditional fold.
Okay.
Which is the APC.
Yeah. All right, sir. Let's look at Oyo State with Seyi Makinde seeking re-election. Now, we know that he was one of the PDP G5 integrity group during when they were having their whole G5 drama. That meant Oyo State was a PDP state. Now, we have Governor Kezi Ekpazu of Abia State, Ifeanyi Ogunwanyi of Enugu, Samuel Otom. You know, these people lost their senatorial bid, you know, in their different states during the presidential election. Do you think this will affect Seyi Makinde now that he's seeking re-election in Oyo State?
You need to have a clear understanding of the political history of Oyo State.
Mm.
Not many governors really have sought and gotten re-elected in Oyo State.
Okay.
In the recent time, the only person who has managed to record that kind of success was Ajimobi. So, really, for Seyi Makinde to just take it for granted that he will be re-elected and having a clear understanding of the political configuration of the state will amount to being simplistic. Oyo State is a politically sophisticated and complex state. Now, look at it. A former governor, Ladoja, has openly come out to also mount a very serious campaign in favor of Testing Fulani of APC. Okay? Seyi Makinde, when he was going to be elected, just came from the blues, you know, and he got into office. Unfortunately, he has not been able to sink his teeth deeply enough into the puffers of the political terrain of that state.
And does it mean that Teslim Folari stands a better chance than the, because there's always a notion that the incumbent always has, you know, a higher chance to win re-election seat. But being that, like you said, Oyo State is a politically sophisticated state, does it mean Teslim Folari stands a better chance than the incumbent?
That I can confirm.
Okay.
It does. Seriously, it does.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So generally, now, what's your expectation from the Southwest?
Well, in Oyo State, Teslim Folari will likely emerge. In Lagos State, Sanwo-Olu, I am confident we emerge. I am confident. I'm repeating it. We emerge. Don't forget that there's so much confusion within the fold of Labour Party now that there's another character that has just shown up, a professor Awamaridi.
Yeah, in Lagos State.
Who keeps insisting that the ticket of Labour Party actually belongs to him. So they have that so much to chew within their party. The House of Reps candidate that was declared the other time, the LP House of Reps candidate that was declared as winner the other time, also has his own problems.
His own problems, yes.
So, like I said the other time, you know, there's so much confusion in the House of Labour Party in the South Coast. They can't stand the test of time.
That was Dr. Okani from the University of Lagos speaking. Let's go up north as my colleague Ado Abubakar speaks with Dr. Issa Abdullahi, public affairs analyst and lecturer, Federal University, Kashere, as they tell us what to expect from the north central part of the country.
When we look at the system, the electoral system, the electoral empire, the level of awareness of voters in Nigeria, although with mass apathy, but most of those people who insisted to go out and vote are highly aware of provisions, their rights, and what they should do that will give them what they want. If you look at the governorship elections, the surprises that came out of it, look at the president-elect, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, lost in Lagos. Prior to this period of time, you would never imagine how could Tinubu lose in Lagos. The way you talk of Taraba State, Plateau State, and some other states in the country, it shows that Nigerians know much what they are looking for now. For all governors who have performed wonderfully, who have done very well for their people, who in the democratic system of Nigeria will use to give social empowerment and developmental assistance to people in the country, those governors are likely to scale through, and those governors are likely to appoint or nominate a successor that can succeed. Because Voters today in Nigeria will look at your antecedents, will look at your achievements, will look at what have you done to improve their lives. They know the kind of person, they don't mind his political party. Therefore, if one believes in the former glory of a political party, then he is deceiving himself. So likely in the governorship election, although the power of incumbency still exists, but there could be a lot of surprises in the governorship election. If this tempo is sustained in the governorship election, we are likely to see a lot of surprises, those who have not performed, but I know there are governors who have performed. If anybody tries to use the power of incumbency or force or coercion to suppress the voters, then it's not going to be that easy, and we should just be prepared to see good things.
Okay, when we take Benue State, for example, where we have the ruling party there is PDP, and in the last election, APC won the presidential election. How do you view the election that is coming up now? Because APC was the first, then Labour Party came second and PDP came third, despite the fact that PDP is the ruling party in the state. How do you view the election in Benue State, that is the governorship election?
Well, what I want us to see is that right from the presidential election to members of the National Assembly's election, that is Senate and representatives that went about 3 weeks ago, and they're likely going to be the governorship and houses of assemblies elections. Nigerians don't mind the political party.
Okay, are we now saying that what happened during the presidential election will still also reflect in the governorship election? That is, in fact,
let me say this, because a little bit about the governorship election, because governors you see are semi presidents in their states.
Yeah.
They have powers of control of the post in a lot of places in the Nigerian political system. They have amassed or arrogate a lot of powers to themselves that they could hardly be suppressed. And they control the state assembly, they control local government chairmen, because most of the local government chairmen are their boys. I can say boys. They control virtually all the wealth of the state. Well, if opposition there are very strong, if the candidates in those places are those very important candidates that people love so much, they could overpower or overwhelm the power of the strength of the governors, and they could vote for the opposition.
Okay.
But in terms of state assembly election, you know, it's just going to be like many political parties will be there, because there could be a lot of people who will be sent away, and the protest votes could come from anywhere. Anybody who did not perform, it's just going to be a mix, just the way the National Assembly is.
Okay, when you go to Kwara, for example, we have the sitting governor, we have the Minister of Information in person of Lai Muhammad, we also have the former governor of the state who is in PDP now. Do you think there is that possibility that since there is problem between Lai Mohammed and the sitting governor, who are all of the APC, will now pave way for the PDP that is led by Saraki to win the election? How do you view that one?
Well, that's going to be a very tough contest. The APC in itself, if it were to go by record and performances at the national level, it has performed far below what we have expected. And a lot of people thought the country would have been much better than this. But unfortunately, this is where we are. So I don't think because of the sitting governor, because of alleged Lai Mohammed, but because of what have they done to the people. If they are really breaking the ground in terms of development, in terms of improving the lives and welfare of the people, then the opposition will come not even close to them.
So invariably, all the elections now that are coming up, they are not going to be easy for all political parties.
They won't be that easy for anybody thinking to take the people for granted. It will never, never be easy for them.
That was Dr. Issa Abdullahi, public affairs analyst and lecturer, Federal University, Kashere. You are listening to The Bearing, coming to you from Daily Trust. We'll be going on break. Do stay. You're welcome back. This is The Bearing, coming to you from Daily Trust. In this episode, we are asking if what played out during the presidential election would repeat itself in the governorship election. Before we went on break, we went to the south, south, southwest, and southeastern part of the country, and we also went to the north central part of Nigeria where we looked at possible shockers. Well, let's get to the northwest to find out what to expect.
My name is Professor Kamil Sanipagi of the Department of Political Science, Bayero University, Kano. Yeah, to some extent, the effect of the presidential elections is likely to going to play in the gubernatorial election in some places.
Okay.
For example, in Kaduna, you know, PDP was able to make a show, and also Labour Party. That could help the two parties. But I think the other thing is that the APC gubernatorial candidate is a grassroots politician. So he's also going to make a show. So it will be too close to call in Kaduna. But I think the race will be between PDP and APC. Labour may have assemblies, especially in southern Kaduna, but they may not likely be that very strong at the territorial level. And now we go to other northwestern states, like Sokoto. You know, in Sokoto, PDP has made a show also in the presidential elections. But, you know, there are key influential politicians in APC, especially like Wamako. I think is going to try to recuperate or to recapture the state.
All right, let's look at Kano. Now, we know that a lot of people came out to vote NNPP, you know, because of Kwabaso during the presidential elections. Will people still vote for the NNPP now?
You see, the strength of NNPP is the youth, and they are a kind of die-hard supporters of Kwankoso. So I think if there is going to be free and fair election, PP is going to make a very big show in the gubernatorial election. And there could be other parties that people are not counting them, but candidates are also grassroots politicians. So I think it is going to be like a 3 or 4 way race, but I think NNPP has a little advantage, and then maybe APC now, with the issue of being in power, even though the power is incumbency power happens to be a liability more than an asset to it. But perhaps the one that is likely to be a major loser would be PDP because of the internal crisis within the party. So that will be a major impediment for it, or a major setback for it. But then, of course, like I said, there are other candidates like Mari Ibrahim Khalil, like Shaban Sharafa, most of their grassroots reach, which I think they too will be a factor to be reckoned with.
Now, what about Katsina? Now, what's your thought on what might play out in Katsina? What do we expect?
Yeah, it is likely going to have that effect, but I think perhaps APC is likely going to recuperate in some places. But what played mostly for the PDP in the presidential election is the fact that people were not happy with the performance of APC, especially at the national level. People expect that with the president in from the state, they will be better off. But then there is this issue of insecurity in the place, which make many people unhappy. And there's also the fact that the PDP presidential candidate has been a strong ally of the Eradwas in the state.
Okay, so generally, what's your expectation from the northwestern states for the gubernatorial elections tomorrow?
My expectation is that there are places that are likely going to have some surprises. Mm-hmm. And secondly, there are places that are going to be tough elections. And then thirdly, there are places like here, Kano, and other places where there is a fear that probably a tension or violence is likely going to mark the election. But in general, I think what is likely going to happen is that, you know, the ruling party, APC, will try as much as possible to regain, and then the surprises will hope and cash on the windfall of their performance. So I think it is going to be an interesting thing in so many places here. Yeah.
That was Dr. Kamilu Fage, a political analyst. Should we expect the same from the Northeast? Well, let's find out.
My name is Professor Aliyu Mampa, currently in the Edo Department, Public Administration, University of Maiduguri. You know, politics itself has its own dynamics.
Yes, sir.
And it is scientific, from a scientific point of view, as political scientists, I can really tell you that some of us have predicted what has played, especially against the background that Nigeria itself is a complex society. Yeah, definitely, it's going to have an effect, but then, the effects are going to be a kind of multiply effects.
Okay.
Because definitely, whereas the gubernatorial election will be different from the presidential election, because if you look at it, the Labour Party, which is also one of the major contenders in the presidential election, do not seem to have the numerical spread and strength across most of the state, most particularly in part of the northern Nigeria. So most particularly up in the north here, you see that in most of the states, it's either Labour Party do not have a gubernatorial candidate, or to a larger extent, some of the gubernatorial candidates has collapsed their structure into the structure of one of the stronger political parties.
Okay, let's talk about Adamawa State now.
Yes.
The governor in Adamawa, Amadu Fintiri, is seeking re-election now.
Yes.
He has people with him. He has the like of Mustafa Madawaki and, you know, the Labour Party, and Senator Aisha Tudahiru. Yes. Do you think he stands a chance of winning his seat, being that the source of governors lose their re-election bid to senatorial bid, but in the Northeast Nigeria now, do you think he stands a chance?
Honestly, the Adamawa State election is going to be the most dicey election, because if you look at it, even the governor himself is confused now. As we are saying, Adamawa State is also one of the most complex and dynamic states, especially when it comes to politicking. The governor has his own high points as well as his own low points. Honestly, when it comes to infrastructural development, the governor has done fairly.
Okay.
He has done fairly. But then he has a lot of challenges, which involve not only his own party in particular, but he had a lot of problems virtually across the state. And these are some of the things that are now manifesting. You know, being an executive governor of a state most often gives somebody a kind of privilege, and most often this privilege are abused, especially when as the chief executive you become power drunk. And that is part of the things that are now facing the governor.
In all of this now, with what you're saying about the governor of Adamawa, does it mean that we may most likely see the first female governor emerging from Adamawa?
That is definitely. So I'm counting some of things. Definitely. The waves Senator Aishidu Tahiru Binhani is making is pointing to the fact that Adamawa State is about making history. Uh-huh. They are going to record the first female governor in the northern Nigeria.
Let's talk about the governor of Borno State now. He's seeking re-election, and you know, people have said his effort and his precedence, his good works in the state have gone ahead of him. Do you think this will sustain him? It's right, the fact that Nigerians are a lot more politically awake this election and are ready to participate. Do you think he stands a chance?
Well, of course he stands a chance, even though with a lot of challenges too. Okay. If you look at the political gameplay in Borno, you surprise. Borno, before 2023, was a one-party state.
Yeah.
Except during the period of, I think around 2015, when late Governor Muhammad Boni contested on the platform of the People's Democratic Party. And because of his populist nature, he was able to cause a lot of havoc to Borno State But as we are talking now, the governor is facing a serious challenge. He may end up costing to victory, but with a lot of hurdles. Because basically, you look at the politics, most particularly that is playing out in the South and Borno. So the politics has been influenced largely by also ethnic religious factors. And again, the election of Senator Kashim Shettima as the vice president-elect will also be an added advantage to Governor Zulum.
That was Professor Aliyu Mampa Musa, HOD Public and Main University of Maiduguri. As the election is ongoing, we keep our fingers crossed. God bless Nigeria. With this, we come to the end of this episode of The Bearing. Thank you so much for listening. A big thank you to everyone who contributed to making this program successful. My name is Lilian Ogazi. Bye for now.